Mornings on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to weigh in on this Carlos Correa thing, do you feel like, Carlos, you're okay? Let's say Pedro León, you feel like he's ready. Would you rather spend it on pitching, or would you rather spend it on Carlos Correa? Kim Kirkchin was on with the guys in the afternoon, and he feels like, you know what, this is going to be a big payday for Carlos Correa. What he's doing this year, he bet on himself, and guess what? He's winning.
Well, he's going to get paid a lot of money, and he's going to deserve it because he's a great young player, and he's even better in October. And that's what all contending teams should look for after this season, is can he get us to the next level? And I think he's the kind of guy who can.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if he performs again in the postseason. It's interesting to see that he's healthy. He's been healthy all year long in a contract year. It is a contract year, so, you know, every contract year I think you need to take with a grain of salt. But Carlos is, he's not any different than he, if actually he is what he is. Carlos Correa is, and okay, that's the question. Because it happened for Lindor. Lindor was an 843 OPS guy. Lindor was an excellent fielder. Lindor was a catalyst, was a leader. Carlos is all of those things. Carlos
is no different than Lindor, honestly.
No.
We don't think of him the same way for some reason, but for the most part, they're the same guy.
They're almost identical. They just go, you know, obviously body type and, you know, but Carlos has proven that if he doesn't win the Gold Glove this year, the only reason is because of the controversy, is because of the cheating scandal. That's the only reason that you can keep Carlos Correa out away from that Gold Glove, because he has been spectacular. What are the measurements that you want? And probably it's probably WAR. Wins above replacement. And Carlos is the number one position player. Now, Wade Miley is the number one pitcher. But Wade Miley has been spectacular this year. Mm-hmm. You see what Wade Miley is doing? He's been.
I haven't paid attention over the last couple of weeks. Mom, longer than that, probably the last month. But I know he was killing it at one point. I guess he's still rolling like that. Yeah, WAR. I mean, WAR is an analytic number that is going to be heavily valued, I would think, for the Houston Astros especially. There's going to be, you know, I mean, his fielding percentage is going to be...
Well, I take it back. Robbie Ray has passed him up. Robbie Ray and Zach Wheeler and Wade Miley has fallen to sixth. But it was just last week, I think it was, or the week before, that Wade Miley was at the top. But Robbie Ray, who was really good in Arizona, has really pitched well. Carlos Correa is the number one position player at 5.8 right now. Robbie Ray, Zach Wheeler, Walker Buehler, Carlos Correa. Now, this was brought up. Marcus Semien is going to probably command a lot less. Although Marcus, don't sleep on Marcus Semien getting a big deal too. Marcus Semien is right there with Carlos Correa. They're tied for the top WAR right now. Somebody asked this question on Twitter a little while ago, is what about Marcus Semien instead, to moving him in? You know what? That would be an idea. I don't know, with the way Marcus Semien is playing right now, he doesn't have the name Carlos Correa does.
No.
But he certainly has the game.
Semien
would be a nice replacement for Carlos Correa.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
But I think,
I mean, if you had to have a replacement, yeah.
Right. But, well, I don't know. Maybe the Astros go, you know what? We got a guy under control for 6 years that we really, really like in Pedro León.
Yeah, but is he ready, though?
Well, that'll be the question.
I mean, because right now the Astros are in win-now mode. I mean, the Astros are there are people who say stupid things like, oh, the Texans are in win-now mode. That's why they get it out there in my tonsil. They have a good football team. No, no. Actually, they weren't in win. They thought they were, but they weren't in win-now mode because they weren't nearly good enough. The Astros are in win-now mode. The Astros have been in win-now mode since 17, and they continue to be in win-now mode because they got a big window of opportunity that's opened up, and they have the players available. They are competing for a title this year. Are they the favorite? No, I wouldn't make them the favorite. Are they legitimate contenders? Absolutely. The Astros are legitimate contenders for a World Series championship. So, for a World Series title. So, is the window slowly closing? I don't really think it is. I know Carlos Correa could be leaving. I know Altuve's getting older, and maybe his performance has started to come down a little bit. Michael Brantley only has another year left after this. I could see where you could make, okay, well, there's no Zach Greinke. So you can start to subtract some guys away from the team. I still think the core's in place, so I don't think anything changes. If you got a Semien in place of a Carlos Correa, you're still in position to continue, especially if Yordan continues to bomb out like this. If Jake Myers ends up being a real dude, if Kyle Tucker ends up being a real dude, which it looks like he is, you still have more than enough to compete at a very, very high level. You go Pedro Leon, there's learning. There's going to be some learning curves there for him, and you also don't have the same questions from a developmental standpoint, or you have more questions than you might for somebody like Semien. So I think with the Astros right now, everything they do is going to be about cost to make sure that they can continue to keep a long run open. I'm not going to say it's the Braves type run, but that's what you shoot for. You shoot to be the Braves, I think, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The Braves have had a window open forever.
Yep.
That's, you shoot to have the Braves.
But they did that with pitching.
Their model. But, they also had David Justice. They had some good hitters, too.
But I think that's how you keep the window open.
But it's a different model, too, back then.
There are...
Would you say the Astros have good starters?
The Astros have good starters.
Fromber, Garcia, McCullers, that's still young.
Yeah.
They're still young there. Urquidy, I would say that's a lot... What you're questioning is, well, you have three Hall of Famers on the Braves, so it's not maybe totally fair. I mean, the Astros have two Hall of Famers. Verlander and Cole will be a Hall of Famer one day. And Greinke. The Astros had three Hall of Famers. That's not normal.
No.
That's not the norm, really.
Well, if you're the Dodgers or you're the Yankees or, some team that's going to, that's how you win. That's how you win big. Marcus Semien right now on the market, the projected market value for him is $18 million, and he is his playing his ass off. Carlos is at 12 right now, $12 million this year.
Huh.
If you only add $6 more million to that position, and you get a quality shortstop like Marcus Semien, or again, you could go the other way and go with Pedro Leon. But there are some, Noah Syndergaard is out there. He's projected to be a $30 million guy. I don't want anything to do with Clayton Kershaw. I just don't. You can have Clayton Kershaw. I'm sorry, at 34 years old. Scherzer is going to be out there at 37.
He feels like a much older. 34 is not a life sentence for any of these.
And I mean,
34 is still young for pitchers, it seems like, nowadays.
Yeah, I know. Well, Scherzer's out there, probably the top. He's the top guy at 37. And he's going to command about $30 million a year as well. There's some arms out there. Kikuchi is going to be out there, and I would love to have him here so I could go, oh, every time. Noah Syndergaard is going to be out there. There are some arms that can be had out there that could bolster the bullpen. Not the bullpen, but the rotation, and be top of the rotation guys. I want to go pitching. If you're gonna let Carlos Correa go, I want to go pitching.
Yeah. That would make sense, but I think one of the things you'd be able to do if you went pitching, I mean, you could also look to trade for pitching, because right now you've got a deep enough staff of starting pitching. I'm telling you, I guarantee you Christian Javier would have some – there'd be interest in Christian Javier out there on the market as a member. Like if you said, okay, we'll give you Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy, there's a team that would be interested in that combination of players. you have enough arms now where you do have some bargaining chips to work with if you want to make trades. If Carlos leaves and you're talking about free agency money, that's fine too. You don't lose any of your players, and that's probably a more likely scenario is if Carlos walks and Carlos isn't taking with him a $30 million a year contract, that may be what he gets, but you are going to be picking up a lot of bread from the departure of Zach Greinke. That is going to give you – now, who's to say the Astros aren't going to say, wait a minute, every single year, you know, we're paying this veteran more, we're going to have to, you know, pick up the freight on Fromber. Maybe they'll get a deal, an early deal done with Fromber. Maybe they try to get an early deal done with Yordan. I would get a deal done earlier than later with Yordan. I mean, how many years in the league do you want Yordan before you're – I mean, last year he didn't play. This year he's playing – last year, he didn't play one game. 4 years in, after next year, would you consider doing a longer-term deal with Yordan?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would too.
Yeah.
So absolutely. After next year is when he starts arbitration. He's under team control next year, and then after that he's got his 3 years of arbitration.
Well, that's still team
that's
control.
That's when you want to try to strike and get him to take something, just like they kind of did with Altuve.
But you want –
here's a good amount of money. Just stay.
Yeah, if you're going to pay him during team control years, then you need to get additional years. Like, you need to get at least plus three on that as well, right? You can't just give him – you can't pay him early, 3 years early, and then say, okay, it's a five-year deal. You only get two extra years? I would try to get Yordan for 6 years. I try to get him for a six-year deal. Would you give Yordan a six-year? The Astros probably wouldn't do this. Probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to do it 3 years in advance. The more I think about it, but if you knew you could get three additional years for Yordan, would you give him a six-year, $120 million deal? You're paying him early.
If you could do a what?
If you could do a six-year deal for $120 million. So you're saying, look, Yordan, we're going to give you $20 million a year.
But, that might be a guy that you do that with like you did with Bregman.
But 3 years club control, yeah. You wouldn't have to pay near that. But we also are getting 3 years of club control added on to that. Would you guys do that?
Yep, absolutely.
Because 100%.
No, well, he's going to leave. I don't think his agent would do that. He's going to leave too much money on the table.
But he's getting it early.
That's great.
And the agent's getting it early, too.
Well, guess what, though? In arbitration, he's going to
he'll make money.
He's going to make money. You don't make money in
arbitration. He'll make money,
but I would want him to get to the free agency early. He's gonna command about $12 million in arbitration.
I know. I'm giving you an extra $8 million.
Well, right. You're giving me an extra 24, and you know what? And it probably only goes up. I don't know. Maybe
it's not gonna be crazy. I mean,
it's not crazy. No, but if I'm him, I want to get to free agency as soon as possible.
I would too. But if you have $120 million guaranteed in the hand, you've had two. Not that the MCL, you know, the two surgeries on the knees. I mean, you're a DH. In all likelihood, you're a DH. You're going to be a minus outfielder. And if you want to make the switch to first base, you're going to have to, you know, you have to learn to play the defensive position. I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world to offer. Now, most baseball people would probably think you're crazy for having to. If you're going to pay early, who's to say, okay, why would we pay that early when we have club control? We'll just play it by ear, and if we really think he's great, we'll give him a long-term deal. Well, I can tell you what, you can't afford, if he's going to be a power hitter, you can't afford to lose as Correa and then, you know, Yordan. That's down the road. It's down the road a bit. I'm just trying to think in advance of how the Astros can be proactive, aggressive, but at the same time, you are obviously going to be taking a chance.
Yep. Bottom of the hour, Pat Forte joins us for his weekly visits at 8:30. Dana Holgorsen at 8:45 every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Underdog Fantasy, they're paying you a visit every single week, or you're paying Underdog Fantasy a visit every single week. I went on Underdog Fantasy the other day, and I was checking it out, and I got involved in a draft. I need to see my results to see how I did in baseball. Because that's something I was doing. I was doing pick'em. In the pick'em contest, you can pick head-to-head. Oh, look at this, golf. Brooks Koepka, four birdies or more. Do I want to go over or under? Xander Schauffele, four birdies or more, over or under. You can parlay those up and combine them in your pick'em contest. And, for example, you pick two of them to win. you get three times your original play. So if you made a $20 play, obviously that'd be worth $60. They've got over-unders. They've got rivalries where you match up two guys head-to-head, but you can do it multiple. You can do it as many as five of them, and if you win all five of them, it pays you 20-1. You've got daily fantasy sports, including fantasy football, coming up. And then season-long fantasy football, which you don't even have to set your starters or even do waiver wires. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com, use promo code RADIO, get a $25 cash bonus on top of your first deposit. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code RADIO.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Got to talk right now about the Cougs. We're going to have Dana Holgorsen coming on in just a bit. Nothing better than all the pageantry and fun of college football. Don't miss the good Sam Texas kickoff this Saturday night at NRG Stadium. Come see your Houston Cougars take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders with dynamic quarterback Clayton Tune and the Cougars' hard-hitting defense. Game kicks off at 6, but all the fun starts at 2 p.m. Come early, tailgate. Check out the Carbach Love Street Text Fest on the south side of NRG Stadium featuring the Cougars Spirit Walk and a live performance by Randall King. Tickets start at just $25. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Make NRG Stadium the Cougs House. Whose house? Cougs House. Don't miss your chance to be part of the 75th celebration of Houston Cougar football. Come early, be loud, wear red. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com. Go Cougs!
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about the draft right here. And I got Mel Kiper's way too early draft predictions. Mm-hmm. His big board, his number one guy is Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. Have you seen any tape on him yet?
A little bit, yeah. Needs to get a little stronger. I watched him against a tackle from Washington State. He's got talent, but I haven't gotten deep enough into him, but he's got to learn to convert power a little bit. So
he's got his number one quarterback as Spencer Rattler. And I agree with that. I think Spencer Rattler is going to have a huge year. He's going to be the number one overall pick.
I'm getting ready to watch quarterbacks just to write some basic notes before the season starts.
You know, 6'1" doesn't bother anybody anymore. A quarterback doesn't.
No, Baker Mayfield was 6-footer. Kyler Murray is under 6 feet. Obviously, Russell Wilson, shorter quarterback, but Baker is the one that's kind of interesting because Baker's not really he has some mobility, but he's not a great runner, but he does have some mobility. But Baker's the one that's going to be. Kyler Murray has just been okay so far. He needs to step it up. Like from a fantasy standpoint, he's good because he runs and gets yards, but he's got to step it up and play much more consistently. And I think how Baker Mayfield progresses. And how
I think he's going to take a
Kyler
big step
Murray
this
progresses.
Year.
Those are, and by the way, where did both those quarterbacks go?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Yeah, so. I mean, and here's Spencer Rattler, another guy who they have figured out we're fine with 6 feet and even below if you have great deep ball accuracy and if you have good mobility. And that's what Spencer Rattler has, the mobility. Spencer Rattler was very, very up and down last year, but it doesn't matter. He was, what, a redshirt freshman or sophomore? No, he was a sophomore.
He was Rattler a sophomore last year.
Was a sophomore last year. So he'll be a junior.
This will be it. Listen, if I'm a quarterback, I want to go play for Lincoln Riley because I'll be the number one overall pick because that dude knows offense. That's how good that dude is. He's got Derek Stingley from LSU, the cornerback number three, Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama. Kyle Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame. He's got him fifth. He's got DeMarvin Leal, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, sixth overall.
Wow, sixth overall.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't looked at him enough to make that determination, but I know there are people who consider him a first-round type of guy. I'm looking at the highest grade for any player that I see coming out. Of course, these are just cornerbacks. Let me get select all. Now I think these are seniors. The highest grade that I have is Adam Anderson from Georgia, who's an inside linebacker. Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn.
Mm-hmm. He's got Anderson 16th.
Okay. How about McCreary?
McCreary, don't see.
McCreary's not the fastest guy. That's my concern. Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end from Michigan. Chris Olave from Ohio State.
He's got him 14th. He's got Hutchinson 13th.
Now, these are all seniors, too, I think. Charlie Kolar from Iowa State. Daniel Felele, tackle from Minnesota.
Northern He's got Iowa. McCreary 21st.
Allie Gay, defensive end. Or Ali Gay from LSU. Do you know him?
No.
Who is that? Oh, he came from Garden City.
Okay. No, I don't know him.
Yeah. And then just not a lot of big name guys here. I think most of this is a senior list, so as with any draft, it's gonna be primarily underclass.
So he's got Howell 7th and he's got Malik Willis 15th.
Okay.
I have a feeling that could change, don't you?
I do too.
Yeah. That could flip flop.
Yeah. I think it could based on.
I think it's going to go
based on their traits.
But yeah, I think it's going to go. It's going to go Rattler first. Willis will be the second quarterback taken, and Howell will be third.
Of the quarterback seniors, it's Willis, Purdy, Thompson, Robinson, Pickett, Charlie Beaver. These are all like seniors, so a lot of these guys, you know, are not going to be fast.
He doesn't even have Purdy in his top 10.
Purdy stinks.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
What about Keaton Slovis?
Slovis is a junior. I need to watch, but I think Slovis is going to be way up there come draft time, is my guess. Just because he looks the part.
Yeah.
You kind of get the vibe of a guy throws a certain way. I've seen enough on it of tape to believe that if he improves this year, he's going to make
himself
money.
I think JT Daniels has a chance to move way up too.
Yep, for sure.
Yep.
I was thinking about this. If Mac Jones, and this is more of a draft talk, but it's also general football. So everyone crapped on Josh Allen when he came out. Everyone.
Yeah. It hurt that he went to Wyoming. It hurt him.
It did.
Yeah.
He didn't have good wide receivers. And rarely, he's the only time in NFL history I've seen a guy go from a guy who couldn't complete 60% of his passes to he's 69% last year and still taking shots down the field. And I think he's legit. You know, I was too hard on him. He was hard to project because he didn't throw on time. Like, he's gotten a lot better as a player. But if you've got Josh Allen, if Mac Jones becomes a much better player than expected, which right now, all indication is he is really exceeding expectations in New England up to this point. Still a rookie, a long way to go. If those two guys play well, and Daniel Jones, who I think still has an opportunity to have a decent season this year, those are three guys that I felt like were more early second round talents. And even Mac Jones, maybe even further. We're going to have to take a look, and not just me, but everybody, because everyone beat the hell out of you may remember it was what a bunch of dummies the Giants are for drafting Daniel Jones instead of Dwayne Haskins. Well, maybe not. But Daniel Jones, we got to see if Daniel Jones can become a player. But we beat up on these guys who don't look the way we want them to look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Josh Allen did, but I was worried too much that he was the next Jake Locker. And instead, Drew Lock has become exactly what I thought he would be, which is that inaccurate quarterback who couldn't take the next step. That's what I thought would happen with Josh Allen. But Mac Jones doesn't look a certain way. We don't like the way he's not. His body type's not good. His throwing is kind of blah, blah, blah. Do you know Charlie Weiss was on? He was on with, I believe, Mike Greenberg. And they had I was listening to ESPN's radio show yesterday. And they talked to Charlie Weiss about what he's seen from Mac Jones right now, what he saw from Tom Brady when Tom Brady was a rookie. And he said, honestly, Mac Jones is further ahead because Tom Brady kind of got screwed his senior year because they were trying to force-feed Drew Henson. He said, but from, you know, an intangible standpoint, he goes, everything that Charlie Weiss hears coming out of New England, and he might be talking to coaches actually on the staff because he knows all those guys, is that he is on par with Tom Brady. Like, it reminds them exactly of what Tom Brady was coming into the league. I'm always very hesitant to say stuff like that about Joe Burrow and Joe Montana, Tom Brady with Mac Jones. But if Mac Jones becomes a player, and Josh Allen already became a player, and if Daniel Jones becomes a better quarterback now that he's got Kenny Galladay and Saquon Barkley back and his offensive line is better, we're going to have to really stop blasting these teams for what they do on draft day.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, just because they don't look big-time, you know, right. Stud athletes or number one guys like Trevor Lawrence, they don't have to look like that all the time.
Well, we can continue that. We've got Pat Forty up next, and then we got Dana Holgorsen right after that, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I got GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf, and it's just awesomeness. What John Clay Wolf does for you is he gives you more for your vehicle than anybody else will. Period, exclamation point. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. He's been talking about this forever right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you, my friends, are the ones that benefit from what he does for all of us. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get rid of your car, you want the most money for it. Why would you take less from the dealership? Why would you take less from CarMax? Why would you take less from anywhere when you get the most for your car? It's a car. Get the most money you possibly can for it. And that's at GiveMeTheVin.com. And John Clay Wolf says, if I can't give you the most for it, I will send you $100. If CarMax can beat my offer, I will send you $100. Dealership can beat my offer, I will send you $100. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Great get for us every week. Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, going to be joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about all things sports, whatever big is going on. Pat, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here every week. Thanks for agreeing to do this. Lance has got youngsters that are playing sports now, younger guys. I had a college football player. I can't even imagine how you were bursting, how it must have felt when your daughter won a silver medal in the Olympics. Can you put that into some words for us here?
I'll try, but it's still kind of hard. Even just hearing you talking about it, I was like, wow, yeah, that really did happen. It's pretty crazy. But honestly, you know, it's just kind of a bigger stage of what you guys have experienced, because it's, you know, I was there from when she was 5 years old and starting to swim, and, you know, the little neighborhood meets, you win a heat ribbon, you're excited, and kind of every step of the way you invest with your kids and you kind of meet them where they are and you ride along with them for as far as it can go. And not many get to go to ride it all the way to the Olympics, but that's kind of one of the joys of being parents of young athletes. It's just great to see them compete and achieve and have success and sometimes struggle and everything that goes with it. But for it to end with her winning a medal and me being able to be there when so many, many parents of athletes in the Olympics weren't able to be there, I was pretty darn lucky.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I've always said it's much more nerve-wracking watching your kids play than ever when you played. I mean, I played small college football, so I can't even imagine how nervous and how the anxiety of watching your daughter compete at the highest level. That's just great stuff. Let's talk some college football now. You've got an article out about the 25 most intriguing college football players this year. What was your criterion for intriguing?
Well, I do these lists every year, and most intriguing coaches, players, and people in suits, the people away from the field. And it is, again, the caveat is intriguing. It's interesting. It's curiosity. It's not who's the best necessarily. There's certainly some of that factors into it, but most of it is like, where are the stories going to be? Basically, was what it boils down to for me in all three of those categories. You know, what are you heading into a make or break season as a coach? As a player, are you stepping into big shoes on a big team? For the people in suits list, hey, it starts with Bob Bowlesby and Greg Sankey for obvious reasons with what's going on right now with the realignment and the reshaping of the nation. But that's kind of my thinking going into that.
Yeah. Where does Bill O'Brien land on that list?
O'Brien as well. I only did head coaches, so I did a whole separate story on Monday about coordinators, and he's at the top of the coordinator intrigue list for sure. Because is a guy who hadn't been in college for a while, but, I mean, he's a proven play caller. Now, I know some people in Houston are going to roll their eyes and say, really? But on a college level, he did really well at Penn State. I think he's going to obviously inherit an incredible amount of talent, but it's young talent. I mean, they lost 5 first-round guys on offense from that Alabama team. So it's kind of a start-over situation. But I think he's going to step in and probably have that offense still humming along at a very high rate. The good news for Alabama, even if they don't, their defense is going to be the best it's been in several years.
Pat Forty with us, the senior writer from Sports Illustrated. And Pat, I think it's you also did your most intriguing coaches list. You referenced that. Number one, you had Steve Sarkisian from University of Texas. And I would say part two of Sarkisian, he went to the Alabama rehab program for coaches. You know, after when I say that only I didn't even mean that tongue in cheek, but now that I said it, I realize that was one of the issues he had was drinking, and he went to Alabama under Nick Saban. We saw the same thing obviously happen with Lane Kiffin. Now Bill O'Brien's trying to do the same thing. Act two for Steve Sarkisian in a big time college town like Austin. How do you see Sarkisian's approach being different now versus when he was at USC?
Well, I expect him to be, you know, 1,000 times wiser from his own personal experiences and failings. I mean, you know, he went through an embarrassing firing at USC, had to start his career over. And then, two, because he sat there and learned from Nick Saban for a couple of years. And it just seems to be that when you go through that process with Saban, you come out of it with some really good ideas and thoughts about how to lead a program. And so I expect him certainly to be, you know, smarter, you know, more well-grounded, all those things. We'll see if he's a better coach. I expect he probably will be, but he also needs to be. I mean, he was an okay coach at Washington at USC. He didn't do anything great, never won a division even in the Pac-12, much less the conference. The expectation that Texas is going to be, you know, to win things. And so he's got to prove he can do that. But, you know, I believe that we'll see probably the best Steve Sarkisian we've seen yet at this point.
We got Pat Forty with us here, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to follow up with one other guy on this list that I find interesting, and that's Matt Campbell. And you put Matt Campbell number three on the list, and that's because Iowa State, you know, he's been sitting there in relative anonymity for a lot of the big time, you know, relative to the big time college coaches, but people around the NFL are super excited about him as a potential coaching prospect. I'm curious to see if Matt Campbell is a coach at Iowa State beyond the 2021-2022 season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely, because Iowa State now is in jeopardy of having everything that they have built for very painstakingly, you know, kind of ripped out from underneath them. If the Big 12 loses Power 5 status, if it certainly is going to lose revenue, you know, just why does he want to stay there? I mean, he's given it his best effort. He's done great work there. But is it the kind of thing that you still stay? No, I don't think so, given the level of regard that he has really throughout the sport of football. I think that he will be the guy to watch in terms of job openings at a high level, both in college and possibly at the NFL as well.
Pat Forty, ESPN, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every Thursday at 8:30. Let me ask you this. With the Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, the other conference's response was, well, we're not going to have a playoff now. We're not going to have a 12-team playoff. To me, that makes zero sense. If the SEC gets stronger, wouldn't the other conferences want more teams?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is cut off my nose to spite my face. You know, I mean, it is purely, well, if that's what you guys want, we don't want it. When you have to step back and realize it's best for everybody, especially those people outside the SEC. You know, the odds only increase now of the SEC getting multiple bids in a 4-team playoff, which means fewer bids for everyone else. So, I mean, if you're the Pac-12 has finally gotten around to it, when they should have been banging that drum from the beginning, bigger playoff, because then we get in the playoff.
Right.
And I think now, you know, you've heard it from some other people. Gordon Gee, the nonsensical president of West Virginia, notwithstanding, who says he's opposed to a bigger playoff. But when, like, really, West Virginia is going to get in a four-teamer right now? Okay. So I think what this is we're not going to be able to reshape the playoff yet, so let's hold their feet to the fire, and let's make this hard on ESPN, most of all. I think this is – people are really ticked off that this is an ESPN – Texas-Oklahoma SEC power play, and they want to see a more diversified broadcast partnership for the playoff going forward. So they want Fox involved. They want CBS, NBC, whoever. They don't want this just to be an SEC deal now that the SEC has made it pretty clear that – I'm sorry, that ESPN has made it clear that the SEC has most favored nation status.
Absolutely. Pat Forty here, ESPN 97.5. Let me ask you this. Am I crazy? If the Pac-12, and I know they're not expanded now, if the Pac-12 expanded, I'm a homer, but I think University of Houston would be their best choice out of Texas. Is that crazy?
I don't know whether it's crazy. Could it happen? Well, I don't think they're going to expand. I think Houston would be an attractive candidate. Would they be the most attractive? Maybe. I know there's been some talk about that. I've seen a story or two where you put it on paper and Houston stacks up very well. That's the thing, you guys live in Texas, so you know this probably better than I do, but the amount of, territorial, protection and ego that is involved in, like, trying to keep a Houston or an SMU or whoever from having the same status as everybody else since the Southwest Conference blew up is just, it's kind of mind-blowing to me. But, Houston's got a lot going for it, a lot. And I think that they would be one of those teams or one of those schools, really, that should be at the forefront of whatever expansion may take place, if it does take place.
Pat Forty, great first segment. We really appreciate it. We're going to have games to talk about. That's going to be fun.
Georgia Clemson coming up this weekend. We got some injuries on the Georgia side. But
who you like there, Pat?
Georgia Clemson, here's what I like. If you're going to make a bet, wait until kickoff because both sides have COVID issues. Keep an eye on that situation. Georgia has injury issues. I think Georgia's better. I'm surprised they're an underdog, but I guess that's factoring in the injuries. I'll take the dogs in that one, but I expect it to be good, close, and low scoring. But again, keep an eye on who's available right up until kickoff.
Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana Holgorsen coming up next right here. Don't you go anywhere. Pat, we really appreciate you being here. Thanks for hanging. We're gonna really enjoy this all season long.
Yeah, my pleasure. Looking forward to it. Happy football season to you guys.
You too.
Right, thanks, Pat.
All right, Pat Forty here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When we come back, I want to ask if you do anything for it. I usually do something.
Well, we're going to talk to Dana when we go.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll ask Dana that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. See what Dana does.
You do something to celebrate the beginning of the college football. I look at college and pro differently.
Yeah.
My pro is more, but the college is, I don't know, there's just a little bit more juice in that.
Yeah. We'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about my bookie. I'm on the site right now. I can bet on this weekend's tour championship. I mean, I got matchups right here. You were talking about matchups a little bit earlier, Lance. U.S. Open, you want to bet on that? The college football season is here. Pat just told you, wait until kickoff to see who's healthy, who's got COVID issues, what issues, whatever those issues are. Just get in on the action. But the action is here. College football season is here. Next week, the pro season is here. And you want to bet on it. The best place to bet on it, then win and get paid with all of that live in-game betting as well. This is the time to jump on and get in because you love to play. You know who's going to win. You're going to love it. And they will match your initial deposit. They will match it dollar for dollar. And so you have double to play with. You're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid. It's MyBookie. MyBookie.ag.
You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dana Holgorsen joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by HRP, great Coug, Mike Holly, wonderful guy, and big Coug fan, and Damaris Barbecue. Not Cougs, but they're just not Cougs. They're Damaris's. But they are sponsoring Dana right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana, welcome to the show. What's up?
Trying to get ready to wrap the week up here. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
We're good.
Hey, this is exciting. You got Texas Tech in NRG on Saturday night, 6 o'clock. Tickets still on sale. Anybody wants to go, let's go. Going to be a great tailgate. Go see my man, Acme John. He's going to have a big tailgate out there. All Elmer, all the peeps are going to be out there, so it's going to be a big-time fun. Let me ask you this. And you've told me a few times now, you really like what you've seen out of Clayton Tune this camp. Why is he going to be much better this year than he has been?
Well, the most important position in football is clearly quarterback, and everybody knows who he is. But in reality, the hardest thing to do on offense, and I think Lance would appreciate this, is have good season physical offensive linemen that are ready to play.
Oh yeah,
and possess the toughness and the skills to be able to play at the college level. We've had 20 starting lineups up front in our first 20 games here, so I think that's fixed. I think we got guys that have experience. We have competition now, which means that they're not just put into the lineup before they're ready. They're trying for the playing time. That's where it's got to start. Everything starts up front, and we're better up front. Brandon Jones is going into his third year. You know, we knew that was going to be one of the biggest issues when we took over the program a couple years ago. They had, I believe it was five, potentially six different O-line coaches in 5 or 6 years. So there just wasn't any continuity. It wasn't being recruited the right way. I think we're at about 18 scholarships on the O-line right now. Bunch of them still ain't ready to play, but we got plenty that have starting experience. We'll start there. If you can protect them, if you got the confidence at the quarterback position, the experience at the quarterback position, which we do with Clayton, and guys actually block in front of them, that we got a shot.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the real key is when you get that consistency and continuity, but maybe more importantly, you just have to have a certain amount of talent up front on the offensive line. When you get that talent and that physicality where you can start imposing your will a little bit, Coach, that just has such – and I know you went from air raid to being a more run-centric or certainly favored the running game when you were in West Virginia. Can you talk about what being able to run the ball and then stop the run does for both sides of your ball? Because it really unlocks a lot of different things.
Well, it's a lot easier to execute the handoff than it does the forward pass. There's no question about that. If you can just turn and hand it and just establish the line of scrimmage and give it to a back that can make a guy miss in the hole because they're trying to stop the run with numbers, not people, then it's a lot easier to do that. If you can't do that, you become one-dimensional. Which clearly I've been in the air raid for a long time, and you know, I guess the irony of this week is 8 years of it with that Texas Tech, and I have just a great amount of respect and admiration for that program, and loved their time there for 8 years there. But we do it every down, and that became kind of tough at times. You know, so we wanted to be able to change things and run the ball, which we did here at Houston with someone in 08 and 09, and. You know, learned a lot about it with Gundy up in Oklahoma State for a year and then changed things once we got into the Big 12 at West Virginia. So, I don't know. Boone's a good pocket guy, but he can run a little bit too. Handing it to some backs is clearly what we want to do to start. You can't do that. You got to be able to protect people and then
tell us about those backs.
Well, we got the old guy, Mobile Car. He's back for his sixth year. COVID gave him a sixth year. I was listening to your previous segment. I got the chills when Pat said that there was COVID issues at Georgia and Clemson. Gave me the chills a little bit since we had so many games canceled last year. But nonetheless, Mobile got his sixth year because of that. And he looks good. He wasn't healthy last year. in the offseason, he had back surgery, so he just never was the same. Not the same guy he was 2 years ago when he had about 500 yards in the four games that he played in. So he's back. Chandler Smith's old. He's back. Two guys I think to keep your eye on a little bit. Tazon Henry, pretty motivated for this game. He's a Houston area kid that started at Texas Tech for 2 years, transferred 2 years ago. He's coming off of the year that he had his fit. And then Alton McCaskill, a freshman here from in town, is a physical dude. He's about 6'2", 210, can run a little bit. So you'll see him out there with some playing time as well.
No, I'm curious about the in terms of COVID. You just talked about that. Last year, obviously, was a huge deal for University of Houston. But what's it like this year? It seems like some of the same issues and concerns should be in place for all the different teams, only we just don't hear about it as much right now. Do you see that being a concern and a factor headed into the early part of the season for college football, even though we don't hear about it like we did last year?
Yeah, evidently, you're still kind of hearing about it a little bit in baseball. It happened in the PGA, with Rom, what was that, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago or whatever it was. You hear about it periodically, so I don't know. I mean, we've been pretty clean for I think we've had like 2 cases since like June. Or something. So, I mean, we're not testing as much as we have. The rules last year, I believe, were 3 times a week, and this year it's once a week. So, I don't know. Are we going to hear about it? We're about to find out. I know that we have a healthy football team. This is the healthiest and deepest football team that I've had. I think we're positioned and ready to play. As well as we've been. I don't anticipate any positives being popped up here in the next 24 hours. That I think we'll travel 70 guys and dress about 85, which we haven't done that since I've been here. So we'll wait and see.
Tell us about Texas Tech.
Well, they're experienced on defense. Keith Patterson is their defense coordinator. He was with me up at WVU for a couple of years. Known Keith for a long time. Does a great job. Been a coordinator for a long time. They got pretty much everybody back. They took more transfers than we did. They got returning starters back. I believe like 8 returning starters, but then they brought in about 5 or 6 transfers. So they're big, physical, and deep on defense. And then offense is kind of the question mark for them. They went fast and threw it all over the place, which is kind of what Cliff did, and had the personnel to be able to do that. But it looks like they're changing that a little bit. They brought in some tight ends and some backs and brought in Sonny Cumbie from TCU, which was a kind of a tight end running oriented offense there. I don't know if it was Sonny or if it was Gary's defensive mentality that did that. But it's a little bit of a question mark. I've been saying for a long time. He played quarterback for us at Texas Tech and has been air raid in the past. But are they going more to a tight end run-oriented thing? I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out. It's a tough pass for Coach Belk in his first game as defense coordinator. But it's like always, all first-time games are fun because it's a lineup and hey, who can figure out what the other team's doing. The quickest is the team that's going to get the upper hand. So should be fun trying to figure it out. This is should be a competitive game. 2 teams that are pretty similar, honestly.
So, after all last year and the crap that you had to go through with all the COVID and everything, you even mentioned COVID to you, like you said, we were talking about it with Pat Forty and you just all of a sudden, it's a little freaky. How exciting is it to actually know that hey, we're going to play some football games and we actually probably are going to play the weeks we're supposed to play this year?
Yeah, and we're not sitting here playing a guessing game on Thursday and Friday whether we're going to get cleared to play or not. That was the toughest part about last year is I think 8 games were canceled, but I believe 6 of them were canceled like on Wednesday or Thursday. Which means you sat there and you prepared on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday. I think we got pulled off the practice field a couple of times on Wednesday. That's really tough because the hard part about coaching is the preparation on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you get to enjoy, you know, game day. I can't wait to, you know, get the energy. Clearly, I'd rather play here at University of Houston, play in CDECU Stadium, but the kickoff classic's awesome. The Texas Bowl people do a wonderful job over there with this college game, whether it's the preseason game or the postseason bowl game. They do a great job, and it's a heck of a venue. I'm a big proponent of neutral site games early. It's got a big game bowl atmosphere to it, which we're excited about that. I think the Houston Cougars are going to show up. I think our fans are going to be there. I think we're going to be loud. I think it's going to be full. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something that we haven't experienced, really, quite honestly, since I've been here.
It'll be fun. It's going to be fun. It's Saturday night, 6 o'clock. Dana, we appreciate it, man. We will talk to you again. Go get a win, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Appreciate it, guys. Good talk to you.
Right. Thanks. There's Dana Holgorsen right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by HRNP. You're looking for that payroll and HR company. There's only one way to go. That's HRNP. Those are our guys. They're Cougs. You Cougs out there, support the Cougs. And, of course, Damaris Barbecue, which great friends. All the Damarises are great friends with Dana. And that's why they want to sponsor him and be behind him and be behind that program. So you're looking for great barbecue and a lot of fun. Get to Damaris Barbecue. And, yes, Cougar football's back. And it's going to be at NRG Stadium on Saturday night. Don't miss the Good Sam Texas kickoff this Saturday night at NRG Stadium. Come see your Houston Cougars take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders and Clayton Toon and the Cougs, their defense. Dana back on the sidelines. We'll just watch him the whole game. That's just good, clean fun for the whole family. Game kicks off at 6 p.m., but all the fun starts at 2. You can start your tailgate, get there early, check out the Carbach Love Street Tech Fest on the south side of NRG Stadium featuring the Cougars Spirit Walk and a live performance by Randall King. Tickets start at just $25, so get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Make NRG Stadium the Cougs house. Whose house? Cougs house. Don't miss your chance to be part of the 75th celebration of Houston Cougar football. Come early, be loud, wear red. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com. Let's go, Cougs!
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.